What's up, Liverpool fans? Welcome back to another episode of Yanks in the Cop. We are here for the first Champions League match of the season. And for a big match like this, there's only one guest we could bring on. It's our boy Grizz from LFC Day Trippers. Grizz, thanks so much for coming on, brother. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Not too bad, man. You don't need to mention, man. Say, yeah, thanking me, man. It's cool, man. All part and parcel of the LFC family, man, worldwide.
Love it.
Absolutely. LFC family everywhere. And always joined by my brother, Andrew and Mahomi. How we doing, lads?
I'm feeling good. I'm excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, I just want to give a round of applause to Mahomi, the persistence to get Grizz on the show. I absolutely love it, man.
No, man. Definitely, man. Proper soldier you got there. Proper soldier.
Love it.
We got a lot to cover today. I want to get right into it. Before we get into the actual pregame with Ajax, I think we got to address the elephant in the room, and that is the diagnosis on Virgil van Dijk's ACL injury. We talked about this when the transfer window ended. If something ever happened to Virgil, we might be in big trouble. And now we're going to see the mentality and the resilience of this team. I mean, Grizz, I want to start with you. I mean, thoughts on the injury? Do you feel like we got to find somebody to replace him now? You know, what's going to be the strategy going forward?
It's a shock to everyone, wasn't it? It's mad shock. It's everything a Liverpool fan would have dreaded. You know, we were talking about it all transfer window and sort of weighing up our options and sort of seeing if it should be enough cover. And I think Klopp came out today in the press conference and said, look, we've got three awesome centre-backs. And then we had Fabinho as cover. And then we had two or three youngsters. So in any normal situation, a club thinks that's enough, you know, so that's the way they looked at it. But it was just devastating, man, devastating. I'm sure all of us, everyone is the same. It's, well, forget us, we're sort of on the outside. You're hearing Ginny in the press conference today, how down he sounded, man, and how deep this is, man. But listen, we've said it on our shows as well. Look, if anyone can raise the spirits, if anyone can make us come back even stronger, it's Jurgen Klopp. We've got the best man at the helm for this situation. All that stuff, man, siege mentality, everything going against us, the media going against us, the whole game against Everton, sort of in terms of the narratives behind the VAR and everything. Listen, it's a chance for the others to stand up. And look, strategy-wise, you know, I'm going to leave the strategies to the big man himself, man. You know, there's no point trying to get into his brain and try to work out how he, you know, we think we're going to do it. We can give our opinions and ideas, but I'm pretty confident he's got something sorted up in his head alongside Pep Linders, man. We've got the best people at the helm to sort of take us forward from here.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. But I mean, I know James Pearce already came out and said he wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Liverpool do some sort of addressing on this in the January market. Andrew and Mahomi, I mean, I have a list of guys that I would take a peek at. You know, what do you guys think? Do you think we have to go with a signing, a big name signing, or are you guys comfortable maybe giving one of the youngsters a shot as well?
No, I mean, for me, I just want to say for number one, he's definitely going to be out for the season. And I don't think that we should by any means rush him or make him feel like he's rushed to get back. I want him back 100%. You know, I want him actually back stronger. A lot of the times this can happen with an ACL. You actually come back stronger. Your knees are much stronger. But for me, the big point here is, we do have a little issue with the defense now, but I think there's going to be more emphasis on the midfield. I think that we need constant ball pressure 24/7. I mean, I don't want to see anything like we saw against Leeds, against Aston Villa. We need constant rotation. We need to keep these guys fresh. Guys like Naby Keita, Jordan Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's obviously injured right now. But, you know, some of these guys have picked up some injuries in the past, so we got to keep them fresh. And we have probably the best controlling midfielder in the world in Thiago Alcantara. So we're going to need him and Henderson to dictate the tempo in the possession of every game. So I think that's why mainly the Thiago signing is so huge, because he's going to have a lot of pressure on his shoulders in the midfield now, especially with Virgil out.
I'm just thinking, like, I read earlier today that because of the foreign quota, we need to sell a foreign player before we can bring in someone that's foreign. So that might limit, because I think we struggled as well to get offers for Shaqiri and Origi in the summer. So acceptable offers as well. So I think, like, I know that Pierce mentioned Ben White, but I think that Brighton are going to want 35 million for him. So there's going to be like a premium
more to get him.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be very hard unless they get, like, I mean, I looked at the free transfers as well. There's not really like anyone that's really free on that list that you can really go for. So I have a sneaky feeling that Klopp would just stick with what he's got. If he can keep everyone fit, Matip, Gomez, Rubinho, he'll stick with what he's got to the summer. But
what about Mariappa and Watford? I think he's a free agent now. He wasn't that bad. He's, you know, he's a good fourth stringer.
Yeah, I mean, my problem is you can't rely on Gomez and Matip to stay healthy. I mean, Matip came back for one game and he already had to get a scan on his knee again. Like, that's the biggest concern I have. And are you going to trust somebody like Reece Williams to go play next to an undisciplined defender like Joe Gomez? Like, I'm super uncomfortable with that. And Billy the Kid, like, I love him. He can win a header, you know, any day he wants. But, you know, he's still super raw too. So, like, I love Gomez and Matip. I think that they're still one of the best defensive, you know, center back pairings in the league. But my question is how, like, it's only going to be a matter of time until these guys pick up knocks and they're going to be out a couple of weeks.
Well, let's just say we need some good luck like we've had some bad luck. After January, that's the way to look at it. I mean, it's true. I mean, we've got the worst luck with this bit. Maybe we can get some good luck until January. I mean, I personally think we will dip into the market. I don't think we've got a choice. I don't think we will have a choice. Even if they stay fit, we won't carry on. Let's say for argument's sake or for luck's sake, they do stay fit until January. I don't think we'll sort of rest on our laurels. But January, we know January is a mad window to try and buy it. January is a mad, mad time to sort of get players from other clubs. I mean, you know, the fella at Leipzig, someone help me with the pronunciation. There you go. See, I thought I set you up for that. The fella, we know the fella we're talking about, right? Upamecano. So the fella Upamecano, I mean, I know we've got eyes on him, but again, that he was one of the reasons why we kind of took a risk this year. So we can secure him for the 36 million release clause next summer. I mean, that was our target. That's our plan. But to bring that forward in January is not easy. It's not, you know, if Leipzig are still in the Champions League, if they're still in the Bundesliga race, they're not going to want to sell one of their main assets in January to us. Do you know what I mean? And we really won't want to pay. Because if we can get him for 36 million a few months later, why should we pay 50 million, 60 million for him? You know, even though needs may must. So I think personally, just a hunch at the moment, personally, I think we'd probably go for a look to get a loan signing in for short term.
Yeah.
And then go big on Upamecano in the summer, which would make more sense. Because it's not more so, as you say, you know, and I know you said, Stephen, that you said it's a sort of a fourth choice, but you know, how often will that fourth choice play if we're looking to sign him? Do you know what I mean? And it's only until we're getting someone like Upamecano in the summer. So I think we may look at a loan, but not the Stephen Colker type loan, like a like a better quality loan, you know.
Yeah.
I know we all remember the Stephen Colker, you know, but I think he'll be someone like a loan signing who's durable, reliable when we need him, just to play basically and be ready. Because that's it. That's the problem we've got. None of our centre-backs seem to be ready and durable. Even Lovren, when he was here, you know, he played for a month and then missed 2 weeks. And then, you know, so we're probably going to, I think the best option at the moment, unless we go out all out for Upamecano in January. But I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, Grizz, I mean, I think that we can be contenders for the Premier League title without a signing in January. I think we can rely on like the Fabinho, the Gomez, and the Matip, and maybe one of the youngsters coming in. But I think if we want to really contend for Europe, we're going to need to sign somebody in January. I don't know if it's Upamecano, maybe it's somebody else. I don't know, but we're going to need to have like a decent sign in that can come in and fill the void of Van Dijk. Just because he is such a big miss, especially.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with it. The only problem I have with going out and get somebody in January is, like Grizz said, it's a crazy window anyway. All the prices are always more expensive. But then going on top of that, every single club in Europe knows that Liverpool needs a center back. So you know they're already going to tag on extra pounds there, just knowing that we have to do something. So even a guy like,
also,
you know.
Also, they realize that a lot of teams are hurting, a lot of clubs are hurting from the pandemic. You know, so a lot of teams might need the money.
I think one of my concerns as well is the fact that with Van Dijk out, who's going to be leading the press from centre-back? Because Gomez, Matip and Fabinho aren't vocal. They're not really organisers or leaders. So who's going to be organising the defence and shouting at Trent or Gomez or to say, like, get in line or move up?
Adrian.
I think that's a concern for me. It's the fact that, you know, we normally have those leaders, Alisson at the back, then Van Dijk, then Henderson, and then, let's say, Mane, they're starting the press. Yeah. So who out of the centre-backs is going to really be doing that? Be organising everyone to press forward, shouting midfielders. And that's my concern, that we'll lack that leadership in that defensive area.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But, when it comes to the Premier League, I 100% still think that we're contenders regardless of the Van Dijk injury. I think I had us as favorites, and now I think it's just wide open. I think it's just going to be a matter of who's playing well at the end of the season, who can go on that long stretch of winning games. But let's get into the Ajax game. It's looking like Thiago and Matip are both out. Huge, huge misses for that. I got word that Nat Phillips as well as Reece Williams are traveling. I saw some pictures of them with the team today. So we got to assume that's going to be Gomez and Fabinho at center back. Should be an interesting match. This is a new look Ajax squad. You know, a lot of the guys who were on that semifinal team are now gone, and they have brought in some, you know, pretty solid players. But, you know, Grizz, what are you going to be keeping an eye out for this game? And, you know, being at Ajax, you know, what are some of the storylines and, you know, some of the things you're keeping an eye out for?
It's a difficult one to read into, because as you said, they've just had like a fire sale since even – what year did they reach the 2018-19 season where they reached the semi-final? So, right. So even sort of under 2 years in that time, they've sold so many of their stars. But this is Ajax, man. Ajax are the excellence, the school of excellence when it comes to producing new talent. And you know, they've produced new talent. They've still got David Neres there. I don't know how. You know, that should give a proper test to our fullbacks. They brought Klaassen back, a very experienced member of their team, you know. So, and I rate Onana very highly as one of the best keepers around. Chelsea were very much interested in him as well. So look, Ajax, they've got a brilliant left back, and the name's so hard to pronounce again. It's the Tagliafico.
I think I made a great
effort. Yeah. So, you know, hey. There's some decent players there, man. So we're going to have our wits about us. But I think we should have enough, and I think we have got enough. Everyone's sort of obviously bemoaning the lack of Thiago and Matip. But, you know, Matip, I think we're going to have to kind of accept that he's only going to be able to play once a week. Do you guys remember Ledley King from Spurs?
Yeah, Ledley King.
It's going to have to be that. We're just going to have to wrap him up in the most amount of cotton wool and just get him through a game, and then just leave him alone. Don't even let him train until January, man. Just play matches for us, Joel. That's all you've got to do. Yeah. So, but yeah, look, we've got enough. We'll have returning. Ginny is going to be hungry. I saw him in the press conference today, and he was really motivated. You could see he was focused, and, you know, you'll have the likes of Naby to come in as well, and Milner possibly. So we've got enough to handle Ajax. But it's not one of those that you underestimate Ajax just because, as I said, they've lost the players, but they're the best at producing new talent. So it's going to be a game, but I don't think, you know, especially without the crowd of Ajax there, because Ajax are one of those clubs, like just like ourselves, that have got a rich history, especially a mad fan base, an absolute mad fan base. And that stadium gets rocking when it gets going. So without that, we should be able to tame them, you know. And if we keep up the same energy levels that we showed against Everton, then our talent will definitely shine through, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, my mentality going into this game is very similar to my mentality going into the derby, and that is I want to see a reaction. You know, everyone's pissed. Yeah, everyone's pissed off with what's happened, and Pickford just getting off easy with no punishment at all. They're going to want to go out and just start flying, and you know, send a message to everyone that we're still a very good team. And it's one of the things I'm keeping an eye out for when it comes to Ajax is their front three. You know, they have a pro with Tosun up top. You know, he's still a solid player. He can bang some bodies. So I think especially Gomez and Fabinho, they're going to have to be ready for a physical match. But like you said, Grizz, they have two young guys who are showing to be very, very good. They have a young Brazilian, Antony, who plays on the right wing. Very similar to Salah, left foot. He likes to cut in. He has 3 goals in 5 games for them already. And then they have another midfielder. I think his name is Mohamed Kudus in the midfield. He's 20 years old as well. He's already getting comparisons to Clarence Seedorf. So, no, they're going to be young, have some energy. But I think our experience in the squad, I think that's going to take us over. But, Andrew, Wahome, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
So, I like this matchup because Ajax like to play football. They're a football playing side. They're not just going to sit back and let us attack. So I think that this is just going to come down to the midfield for us. I think, like Grizz said, we're going to expect a big game from Gini Wijnaldum. Obviously, he looks like he's lost his spot to Thiago. So I would expect him to just come out of the gates flying. And then Naby Keita, I mean, he has to show up in this game for me. I know I've been critical of him over this season, and Connor had some words for me last week, but I expect a big performance from him. I want to see YouTube Naby. This is the perfect game for him. Let's make it happen.
I think tomorrow will suit us because, like I said, Ajax are attacking football team, and they've never been strong defensively. They've been great going forward. I think that will play to us because we play well against teams who are open against us, and they only know how to play one way. I think my thing obviously tomorrow is it's more the case of personnel we're going to play in terms of, like, do we go with Bobby again? Because I think, like, Bobby's not been – he didn't look that great in the Everton game. And I think if you want to see the best of Naby, but when he's on the left-hand side, he hasn't got a cover, Robbo and that Omane, because they're quite more defensive-minded. So I think, like, I don't know why we wouldn't trust Gini on that side and then play Kate on the other side. But I think we should win tomorrow. And I think, yeah, obviously, don't disrespect Ajax because they are a good team. But I think it's just figuring out, you know, the personnel. And that's why I was wondering, like, with this Van Dijk thing, would we go to a 4-2-3-1 formation to keep us more solid? Because we did practice that in pre-season, but then Klopp's never, so far this season, shown the inclination to play it. So that's just wondering, like, Grizz, do you think, like, a 4-2-3-1 would be something we'd go towards?
I think it's definitely something that will be in his plans and thoughts. And we also know that because he did try it out in a couple of halves in the pre-season. I personally felt we didn't have the personnel to do it in past seasons, but I definitely think we've got the personnel to do it this season. In fact, you know, I have laugh and an argument with the lads in the WhatsApp, in the Trippers WhatsApp, and I'll say, I'm adamant that this is our go-to formation this season eventually. Just for the fact that we've got sort of Thiago and in that team now, and then we've got the likes of Jota and Minamino in our squad. So, yeah, I mean, it may be a case of outscoring teams now, you know, going out there and saying, look, if you're going to score against us, we'll score one more, whatever that may be, or two more. You know, if you score two, we'll score four. You know, if you score one, we'll score three, kind of thing. So in order for us to do that, we'd have to sort of slightly rejig our attack. And I honestly think he'll suit Bobby down to the ground as well. I honestly do. I thought Bobby's feeling the strain. You can actually, for the first time since his time here, or since he's been converted to this role, for the first time you can kind of see the strain on him, like visibly. You can actually see him during games where he's slightly under pressure. Now that smile isn't there that was always there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Showing
off his rejig teeth. You know, he doesn't show it anymore. We need to see that. But I just think if he gets some support alongside him, and we know Mane and Salah are very able deputies to go through the middle, either of them. That would sort of mean, you know, one midfielder less. But listen, if that means Fabinho is in the centre-back position, then we've got enough cover in the midfield as well. So, you know, I could easily see a Gini, but Hendo, Thiago, base, and then Minamino, Jota, Mane behind a Salah, or Fabinho, or Bobby, Jota, and Mane behind Salah. You know, we've got loads of varieties of attack. And the two will absolutely suit Thiago and Gini as well. Keita. You guys were talking about Keita. I mean, Andrew wanted to see the YouTube Keita. Well, we've got to play him in that role then.
Yeah.
You know, at Leipzig, he was a box-to-box central midfielder who played in a two. And people saying, we want to see him, but he hasn't played that position. He played it, I can't remember which game, maybe a preseason, but he was absolute dominant. He was magnificent in that game. And it just shows you what he can do. And Thiago is absolutely suited to a two, someone maybe more robust and physical alongside him, a la Fabinho or Gini or Hendo. And then, you know, let Thiago do his thing. And, you know, I just think he'll suit the personnel we've got right now. So, you know, I think we may see it tomorrow. I've got a feeling we may see Bobby tomorrow. I've got a feeling Jota will start tomorrow. So
yeah, but Chris, maybe in that formation, you think they try a new formation away to Ajax in the Champions League without Thiago and Fabinho? I don't know. I feel like Klopp's just gonna go with 4-3-3. I think maybe against Sheffield you could see it, or like some team like that. I don't know if they'll try a new formation, you know, in a big game.
I don't know. I think it's strange to say this and it feels so weird, but I don't know about you guys, but that buzz that's supposed to be around a Champions League game ain't there for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe the situation, maybe the circumstances, maybe, you know. And I think, you know, because Matip is fine, it's like a precaution. So it's obviously... it's important, but it's not more important than the game against Sheffield, you know, and that's what Klopp's shown by resting, not even taking Matip, because if it was the game of the week for him, he would have taken Matip. Matip would have played.
Agreed.
But he's realized, look, I need to make sure we get right in the league, because say what we want a back-to-back league title.
Yeah.
Champions League, yeah, man, we've been there, seen it, done it, but a back-to-back league title, and then, you know, we can all retire if we want. That's me done.
Well, the one thing I'm kind of curious about, if we do, I agree, I don't think we're going to change formation tomorrow, and I do want to get to the midfield three, but when it comes to Bobby, if we do go to a 4-2-3-1, I mean, the way he plays the nine role now, he ultimately is playing a 10. When you look at his average like positioning on the field, he's behind Salah and Mane. And I'm almost feeling like if you go to a 4-2-3-1, have the double pivot, put Bobby in the 10, and then you have Salah, you know, Mane and Jota, that's going to take all the pressure off him to score goals. And it's going to really allow him to focus on the things that he does well, which is pressing defensively, you know, getting involved in the attack on the creativity side of things. So I'm kind of curious that maybe not short term, but long term, you know, that could be a potential solution, especially with how, you know, George does look coming off the bench for us. He looked really solid. Well, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I said before, I think I'd first go to that 4-2-3-1 formation. I think I'd bring out the best in Bobby, Keita, and it gave us more solidarity defensively, especially to protect. Where it's going to be Fabinho and Gomez at centre-back. So I agree. I don't think he'll play it tomorrow. Maybe the weekend, but I don't think he'll play against Sheffield United yet. But I do think eventually we should go to that formation and we should be playing that. Because even when we did it last season for, like, was it 11 games we did it? We looked solid. you know, we didn't score as many goals, but we looked solid, and you know, and we looked difficult to beat in that formation. He did, obviously, I know he didn't play against the big teams in that one, but it did work for like a good run for us. So I agree. Yeah, I think we've got this season, we've got a better personnel to do it more effective. So I think it would bring out the best in Bobby, because it'd bring him back to the Hoffman days when he was playing as a 10 anyhow. So yeah, I think we should go for it.
I mean, ultimately, I mean, I think really the biggest question that we have going into the game tomorrow is what is going to be Klopp's you know, pick for the midfield three. I don't know why. I really hope it's going to be Henderson, Genie, and Keita, but I just have this inkling that he's going to go with the guys that he trusts for the press. And I think that's, so I think in my opinion, it's going to be Hendo, Genie, and Milner. I just think, especially with Van Dijk being out, he's going to want that extra leadership. And, you know, Milner's just work rate, his leadership next to Henderson, I think that's something that he's going to value a lot. Cause I don't know how concerned he is about us scoring. I think we're going to get goals against this team. It's just more of a matter of, can we not make the mistakes defensively? So if I had to pick a midfield three, I'm going Henderson, Milner, Junior, Wijnaldum.
Yeah. I think he trusts Keita now though. I mean, Keita's been in the side for a while now, and we're going to need that attacking flair in the midfield. I think it's just going to be Keita, Genie, and
didn't he say that he expects him to feature?
Yeah. He did say that Keita is going to feature in some way in the game, whether it's coming off the bench or I don't know. I also just love Naby coming off the bench, because anytime we win a tie game or we're losing, you know, other than Curtis Jones, he's really the only attacking midfielder that we have as a bench option, a guy that I'm comfortable who can create going forwards, you know, and I think if you start him, you lose that. You'd lose that capability if you're behind in the game. So I don't know. But what do you think, Wahome? What would your midfield three be?
I'd go for Hendo, Junior, Keita, to be honest. I think that's gonna be the best balance midfield we've got now, with Thiago Fabinho out, not in the normal positions. So I think that's what we should play. And then when the game's won, then he can bring on Milner for Keita to see out the game. But I think that's what we need, because we need someone who is going to attack and link up with the forward front three. And then you can have Ginny and Hendo kind of sitting and protecting the back four, and just allowing Keita to, kind of how when we played in Leicester, we beat Leicester 4-0. You know, that was a midfield. And Keita was just allowed to really get forward, link up with the front three, and he was outstanding. So I'd prefer that midfield, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did play Milner. But I'd prefer that.
What do you think, Grez? What's your midfield prediction?
I'm going to throw a cat amongst the pigeons and say I think we're going to rest Hendo as well, and I think he's going to pick Genie, Milner, and Keita. I think he's going to bring a total different three to central midfield.
Wow,
just to freshen it up, you know, I think during the season or during most seasons, the most where we rotate is in the midfield anyway.
Yeah, right.
We have, although we don't rotate massively, if we do, it's always one or two in the midfield because of the depth, as long as they all fit. So yeah, Naby needs game time. I wouldn't be surprised if Naby, you know, needs to, because he had a very good preseason. It's just, look, we talked about luck, but our luck's been something else, man. I mean, he looked so good in preseason, you know, and then the excitement with Thiago joining as well. And we were on a high, man, going into the season. It was going to be some special season. You know, we see glimpses of Thiago against Chelsea, and we think, whoa, then a major glip against Villa. But listen, every team has a glitch or blip. Call it what you want. But yeah, tomorrow I think he's going to look for like fresh legs to make sure we harass the shit out of Ajax, who are overall a young team. I know they've got some experienced players, but an inexperienced team at this level as well, you've got to remember, they're going to be slightly in awe of us. You know, we can dress it up how we want, but we do intimidate teams. So Obviously, it's going to be less intimidating for them without Virgil, but I'm pretty confident we can keep the ball away from them for long periods. And when they do have it, that's why I think this three will be the most energetic right now. Totally fresh, haven't played in a little while, and just hungry dogs, man. Let them loose on the Ajax midfield.
Do you think Klopp brings back heavy metal football?
I think we may have no option but to, bro. Yeah. I think we may have no option.
I love that.
Yeah, it may have to be, man. It may have to be sort of, you know, let's see what you've got against us. You know, we've got the fight. Listen, I've always said we've got the firepower to match any team if we want to play like that. It's just we chose last season to bring another, you know, another bow to arrow. You know, we arrow to our bow, I should say.
Yeah, there it is.
We got there. But listen, we decided to bring control and poise and composure to our game. And it surprised even us. I mean, how many of us said, whoa, the way we kill off games when we take a lead is good night. The other team ain't coming back. So we brought that to our game. Our mentality will be even stronger. And firepower, we've added to that firepower, man. Guys, we took in the 17-18 Liverpool, where we scored all those millions of goals. We've got all them players plus Jota and Thiago now and Minamino. So if we were to sort of resort to all our attack like your PlayStation games and just press that button, we can do that as well. So we can switch it up. So yeah, man, as you say, Andrew, I think we may have to go all our attack, man.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall right now, man.
Yeah, I know. That'll jack me up.
Definitely. We can. We can
switch it up now, man. Well, based off of that, what's everyone's predictions for the scoreline?
3-1. You're going 3-1. I think we give up a goal, but I think we get there. Comfortable.
I'll go for 2-0.
Clean sheet?
Yeah, because I just feel that the midfield is going to be hungry tomorrow. I think, like, we'll do enough with the ball to keep away from them. And I a good team, but I don't think they've got as many threats to really hurt us. As you know, we should be winning that game and winning that comfortably, to be honest, is controlling the game. So that's what I'm going for 2-0.
Riz, what you got?
I was going to go 3-1, but to be different, I'm going to go 4-1. Yeah, 4-1. Just to be different, because now I've just realized the amount of attackers we've got on show in the squad, and we're going to be hungry tomorrow. I think we're going to surprise. It's not a surprise, because we all expect us to come back stronger and come back hard after the last game and everything. So, yeah, I think we're gonna put on a show for the rest of Europe to see, like, you know, like, how dare you doubt us and do you forget who we are, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So, your eyes of Europe will be on us. How will we perform without Virgil?
Yeah.
You know, we're brilliant in those times. You know, we're brilliant.
Let me ask you this, guys: how do you think our center backs line up? Do you think Fabinho sides with Trent and Gomez with Robertson, or vice versa?
I think it's going to be Fabinho next to Robertson and Gomez. I just because Gomez is used to playing on the right side, so keep him on that side.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that as well. But although, yeah, I'd probably agree with that actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult to say. I think it may be the other side, either way around. I think Fabinho may play on the right side and Gomez on the left. Because you've got to remember, Fabinho's not a natural centre-back. He hasn't played there much, but when he has played there, just three times, he's played there every time on the right side. Whereas Gomez has played both in his career. So if you was to take a risk, you take a risk with an established centre-back as opposed to one that's not played there much. So I just think, I mean, it may be the other way around, but I think Fabinho would go with Trent's side. I mean, you got to remember, Robbo's that talker now in that back four. You know, I can't remember, one of your brothers talked about who's going to be the organizer and leader.
Yeah.
It's got to be Robbo, man. It has to be Robbo. Robbo's going to be the one that's sort of constantly chirping away at them. And, you know, and Gomez, I think, needs someone to be chirping in his ear at the moment, at the time, because he's not playing his best football, you know. So if you want to put him up against Trent, who's also not playing his best football at the moment, you know, you're asking for trouble. So I think Fabinho is a calmer head, even though he's a less experienced centre-back for sort of slotting there. But we'll see tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, he's just he's much more disciplined, and his positional awareness is definitely superior to Gomez's. So I totally understand that. My prediction, I'm going to go 3-0. I'm getting bold with that. Adrian, he's due for a clean sheet. Let's be honest. He deserves one after all the hate he's been getting. But I'm not going to go into the goal scorers. But the one thing I will say is that Trent has a history of when he gets told to come outside after Wan-Bissaka does anything, he does something spectacular. So I will say that Trent's going to do something spectacular tomorrow. Keep an eye out for that. But before we wrap up, there was two other kind of breaking news stuff I wanted to get to. Number one, Harvey Elliott. No, he's going out on loan to Blackburn. All signs looks like it's a great move. You know, Wahome, I know you and I were looking at this tweet earlier about the in-depth that Liverpool goes into when they were showing Harvey Elliott why they wanted to go to Blackburn. I think it's going to be a great move for the lad. Going to get a lot of good minutes in a really competitive league. And from all reports, he's going into a system that fits his playing style. So I'm really excited for him, and hopefully that can lead to him developing and, you know, helping the team next year.
Yeah, I think that the good thing what Liverpool do is the extensive analysis they do and the detail they go into it. So they properly planned it and looked at everything, discussed with the player. So, you know, they're making sure that this is a good move from him. You know, so it's not just Albert sending you alone. So I think he needs the games. At 17, he needs the minutes. And I think he should come back stronger next year. Because there are times when I felt when we were playing him this year, he looked like a 17-year-old. Like, yeah. Still learning his trade, still not knowing when to do certain movements. So I think it'll do well. And Wilson's there at Blackburn as well, wasn't he?
What about Wilson?
Did he go loan to Blackburn, Wilson?
No, I haven't seen that. I've not seen that yet.
Maybe that's a different team. Oh, yeah. So I think he'd do well there with the style of football Blackburn play.
No, he went to. Didn't he go back? No, he went to
Birmingham,
I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like that. Different team. I thought he was there. Different team. Okay.
With the Harvey Elliott, it makes sense in every aspect. As you guys have touched upon, we do look deeply into how the other team plays and how they're going to play him. And, you know, they play a very similar system to us as well, which has been looked at. He's been promised game time, which is what we needed. And the specific role that Mowbray has for him, you know, it's all positive. And he'll only learn. He needs to play in a physical league. We know he's got the skill and the talent and the touch and the technique. We just need him to get used to the physicality side of things. And yeah, man, the championship's going to definitely give him an education in that.
Yeah, should be good. And, you know, Harry Wilson, he ended up going to Coventry, by the way. And then very quick, the last thing I just want to touch on before we go here, the whole Premier League super season for all the Europe teams. Looks like Liverpool and Man United are two teams that are interested in doing this. I don't like this idea at all. I think it's just going to kind of ruin the normal season as well as the Champions League. That's what the Champions League is for. I don't want to see us do it. This seems like a power grab, money grab by some of the top teams in Europe. I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want it. They've talked about Super League for years now. I've never been a fan of it. I just think the current format's fine. Like Champions League, Premiership, that's perfect. Fine. But yeah. This is all about money. And I know it's just... It doesn't make sense. Like, if you're playing Juventus one week and then you've got Barcelona the next week, how are fans going to be able to afford tickets for those two games and do the travel and everything? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think it would be detrimental to a lot of the rest of the clubs throughout Europe, you know, like, especially on an international basis. You know, you have Americans who hop on the bandwagon with a lot of different teams. Whoever has won the Premier League, yeah, that's why I've seen it as such an influx of fans coming to Liverpool recently. But, you know, the same thing happens with Barcelona, Juventus, Real Madrid. So I think the money would just go straight to those 10 to 15 teams, whatever it is, and the rest of the teams throughout Europe would really suffer from that.
Yeah, I agree. So hopefully it doesn't happen. We'll keep an eye out, see what happens. But big game tomorrow. Hope the boys, you know, come out, send a message to everyone that we're still not a team to mess with. Despite Virgil's injury, let's get the much-needed 3 points. against the second best team in our group, put ourselves in a good position going forward. But hey, Grizz, thank you again for coming on, man. We really, really appreciate it. If you haven't yet, please tune in to LFC Day Trippers as well. It is an awesome, awesome podcast, an awesome show. If you like this show, you will love that show.
Appreciate it.
For us here at Yanks of the Cop, we really, really appreciate you guys. Go ahead, smash that like button and give us a subscription. And we'll see you all for the post-match reactions of the first Champions League game of the season. Up Cheers, the guys. Reds. We'll Thanks, see you Greg. Next time.